Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumbeo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And as you know, the listener, over the last couple months, we've been talking about various topics, including the seven deadly sins. And we thought it'd be good to kind of change it up a little bit and maybe talk about repentance in light of our struggle with sin. How do we repent of sin? What is repentance? And so we're gonna try to tackle that today.
Sinclair Ferguson says, true repentance is the return to God with which the Christian life begins, continues, and ends. I love that quote from Ferguson, because after you hear that begin part, that's kind of where people actually leave off repentance or stop with repentance. They think repentance is a one-time deal where I became a Christian, and so now, therefore, I must be done with that part of the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation. But what I love about Ferguson is he says, it begins there, it continues there, and it ends there.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what true repentance is. And so I love how succinct this quote is, and I love that he is basically saying to be a Christian means to be truly repenting once and again, over and over and over, until your life ends.
Well, let's be honest. There's a lot of churches that don't even think repentance matters and are never going to preach on it. We're not one of those churches, so we talk a lot about repentance. So we're sort of working upstream here in the sense that there's a lot of Christians who don't think much about repentance. And then it's common, if you come into a church where repentance is valued, that we bring with us all the baggage of what that might have meant in other contexts. So a lot of people grew up in sort of hardcore legalistic churches where repentance was sort of shameful, and other people grew up in traditions where repentance was sort of cursory and surface level. And so there's just a lot of our thinking that does need to be reformed and reshaped when it comes to understanding repentance. And you're exactly right. Sinclair Ferguson is right, Dusty, that the word repent in the Bible is often aligned with the word return, especially in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word shuv, which is the word to return, is often used as a synonym for repentance. And so anytime you see the Bible speaking about repentance, it's just a turning back to God, a returning to the one who made us, the one to whom we're accountable, the one we're supposed to be following and living life for.
So when John the Baptist and Jesus said, repent and believe, they're saying, return to God. Believe in him.
Yeah, their words in the New Testament are building on a whole Old Testament tradition of return, of repentance. In fact, if you do a quick search through your Old Testament, you'll come across in 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he prays this prayer to God, just sort of asking for God's grace and blessing on the people. He says, basically, if they sin against you and you're angry with them and you send them into exile, if they turn their heart in the land to which they've been carried captive, and they repent and plead with you. 1 Kings 8:48, if they repent with all their mind and with all their heart and pray to you toward their land, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive them. And so there's this returning, right? They've been carried away. They've been judged for their sin. But now, God, if they return to you, if they turn back, and if they truly in their hearts and minds return to you, then hear them and forgive them. So that's sort of the paradigmatic prayer that sort of, I think, grounds a lot of the Bible's understanding of repentance is in that covenantal category of turning back to God from idols and therefore experiencing the forgiveness of God and the reconnecting of communion with God. And of course, we see all that through the lens of how Jesus has sort of accomplished that in a fuller way. Mm-hmm. But the Old Testament language of sort of turning back and covenantal return is crucial.
Mm. So with that, let's clear up some of the confusion that maybe bad theology or just bad upbringing has kind of caused. Let's talk about the difference between confession and repentance.
What do you mean? I thought they were the same.
Well, yes, exactly. That's why. I want to help you, Dusty. I want to help you figure this out.
Come and help me.
The word confess means to say the same thing as. So confess just means I'm acknowledging that it happened.
Well, that's kind of like repentance, right?
No.
Why not?
Repentance is turning. It's more than saying.
Let me
read a little quote from Eugene Peterson. Repentance is not an emotion. It is not feeling sorry for your sins. It is a decision. It is deciding that you have been wrong in supposing you could manage your own life and be your own God. Repentance is a decision to follow Jesus Christ and become his pilgrim in the path of peace. Every time the Bible speaks of repentance, it's always a language of turning. It's a decisive turning, a willful turning back. And so it's more than I feel sorry for this. And it's even more than I've acknowledged this. It's a turning, a returning back to God. And so it has in the word itself is the implication that I'm returning back to God in my will and in my pursuit and not just in my feelings or my emotions or even just my words.
Just your words, just your thoughts. And so similar to, hey, there's a book over there on that shelf, repentance would say, yeah, go read that, right?
Yes.
So there's action involved in repentance. And so, Mike, why do you ask this question? I'm just curious, confession and repentance, you want to tidy that up? How come?
Yeah, I mean, I've always heard... always is an absolute. So I've heard a few times people say, I'm going to repent to my wife about this sin, or I'm going to repent to my gospel community. And so I'm always in that spot of helping people see, no, repentance is you don't repent to people. You turn towards God. You might confess to people and talk about your sin, be open, be living in the light. But repentance is something like your Sinclair Ferguson quote implies. Martin Luther has said the Christian life is a life of repentance. And so we're constantly repenting, mm-hmm. whether we're telling our gospel community or not. And so,
Mike, you're not mincing words here. This is important, mm-hmm. right? Scripture, James 5, confess your sins to one another. So it is yeah. very biblical for us to yeah. confess our sins to one another. We don't repent to one another. We repent right. before yeah. God. We turn back to God. We turn from sin and to Christ.
Mm-hmm. It is obvious that your sin might actually affect relationship. And so you might need to right. create restoration and reconciliation, especially in a marriage or in a good friendship or in your gospel community. But repentance is broke. I'm repenting to God because I'm mm-hmm. broken about my sin. Mm-hmm. And that might have implications relationally, and I might need to confess that and make things right. Yep. But there should be a sense of brokenness. And I think this is key because I don't want repentance to become this new language that we just, well, I confessed and repented of that, and then absolutely nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. And you did that again next week. There should be ongoing growth here after repentance.
Well, let me parse this out even further. Contrition is the emotional component, the idea of conviction over sin. I feel something about my sin. Confession is the verbal component. I'm saying the same thing as, I'm agreeing with God that this is sin, and I'm confessing it before others. Repentance is the volitional, the willing component. Now I'm turning to God. Now, I don't know that we can parse those things out because ideally they happen together, right? I'm convicted of something. I agree with God that it's sin. I'm turning back to God. So I want to experience those things all at the same time.
Yeah.
Where I think we get confused is people... say that they are repenting when really all they're doing is feeling contrition. So I feel something over my sin. I have not yet willfully decided to turn back to God, right? So or the opposite mistake, someone comes and they know that there's something they're doing is wrong, but they don't necessarily feel it very deeply yet. And so they feel like, well, I can't repent because I don't feel that bad about it. I'm like, well, if you're here having the conversation, you feel bad enough to talk about it. Let's start there. Repentance is not I need to feel really deeply grief over my sin. That's ideal. That's what the Bible longs for. But repentance is an action of the will. And therefore, if you just read the Bible and know that what you're doing is wrong, you can repent right now. You don't need to wait for a full emotional component. You begin the act of repentance, turning back to the Lord. And as you do, the longing is for the Holy Spirit to give you a deeper sense of contrition and mourning and brokenness over your sin. So mm-hmm. it's important to parse out those nuances so that both our contrition doesn't keep us from repentance and that our repentance isn't contingent upon the right amount of contrition.
Yeah, repentance is a joyful action too. Like when we're
preach that.
Yeah, so
come on.
With repentance, there's the hope and the promise of something different. So we're not just feeling the conviction anymore. We're not just talking about our sin anymore, but we have an opportunity to be free from sin and to actually live differently. And so when last week we were talking about pride and, you know, being humble and all those things, we were talking about being aware. And so we can joyfully turn back to God, fully aware of our tendencies, fully aware of how our heart wanders away from God, and joyfully repent, knowing that he will give us the grace to turn away, to live different lives, to live lives that glorify him, that where we don't struggle with sin anymore. Sin might still be a reality and there might be temptation, but we don't have to act in that way. We don't have to be sorrowful over that anymore, but we can be joyful knowing that the Lord provides a way out of that.
And that's only possible because of the gospel, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Yep. It's only the cross that makes repentance joyful. Otherwise, repentance is deeply grieving, because it would feel like I'm acknowledging failure. I haven't lived up to God's standard here. But because God has poured out his wrath on Jesus in my place, and because therefore he always welcomes me to return, repentance is always a turning back to the riches of what God has done in Christ, and therefore it is joyful. It's not, there's no sense of shamefulness in repentance. There's the Father's welcome, as we see in the story of the prodigal son.
I think it's interesting too that you talk about the joy that comes with repentance, because that joy is also preceded by the fact that I'm worshiping Christ for his everlasting mercy, for the things that he's done on the cross for me. And therefore that reality, the freedom that repentance brings also brings that joy with it. Right. And so I don't need to be doom and gloom about my repentance, because there's so much freedom and joy on the other side of that. And I think this is important to realize, because I think we think, oh no, well, I don't want to sin because then I'd have to confess and repent about that. But the reality is, well, no, not really. Not if there's freedom in that and just an ongoing growth as a Christian and sanctification. There's more joy for you to experience.
Well, and you use the language of freedom, right? The Bible always speaks of sin as bondage. And so repentance is liberation. Turning back to the one who has freed me and does free me from sin is a deeper freedom. So it's connected to the experience of freedom. I know a lot of people who would say they're Christians and yet they're living in bondage because there's unrepentant sin, right? And so they don't feel free. They don't feel a sense of joy and exuberance in their relationship with God. Well, repentance is the answer to that, because repentance opens up just greater depths of the joy and freedom of the gospel.
And I think it's interesting too, for weary souls or apathetic souls, or for people who don't feel near to God. Sometimes it just feels like, well, I don't know, I'm not really in community with God, and I don't feel like God's talking to me. And sometimes we'll ask the question of those kinds of people, well, what are you repenting about right now? Well, I don't really feel like repenting because I'm not really near God, and I'm not, you know. Yeah. And the answer to that is, be captivated by the gospel and start repenting of even just your apathy and draw near to him. Jack Miller, in his book Repentance, says this: to be near God and to have God near us is the whole purpose of human life. So he says that's the purpose of human life. But without sincere repentance, there can be no face-to-face fellowship with the Father of lights. An unrepentant heart is self-satisfied, proud, and cold. And so in your apathy, or in your, you know, maybe you haven't had spiritual awakening lately, or it hasn't felt like mountaintop experiences, maybe you're just unrepentant and cold. And an answer to that is a step towards repentance.
Well, I think it's helpful too that, you know, oftentimes we think of, at least I do, I think of repentance as in terms of like particular sins or types of sin. Man, it's been a blessing in my life just to repent of my spiritual laziness and apathy. You know, like I don't desire God as much as I should. I need to repent of that. You know, like repentance is the way to longing for more of God. And so even if it's not like, well, I have this deep, dark sin over here I need to repent of, well, I still need to repent of the ways that my selfishness keeps me from really loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Any lack of that, any failure of that, is sin that needs to be repented of, which is why Martin Luther said the whole Christian life is one of repentance, because there's always plenty that we can be turning from and turning back to God. And so that ongoing repentance and turning and returning to the Lord, that ought to be happening for everyone all the time in lots of different ways.
It's interesting. I'm just thinking, like, repentance is not something that really mature spiritual people do, but repentance is what people who desire God do, like truly desire God. And which is what kind of what you just said is like, oh yeah, okay. Repentance is about truly desiring to be near the Lord, because we realize how much we need him not because, oh, we have it all together, so we repent.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, repentance is about wanting to be near to God, not just about wanting to be freed from sin.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you're right. Jack Miller calls that the Spirit-filled life, right? If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I want to repent and grow with Him. He also says you will begin to have the joy of a clear conscience and a deepening fellowship with Christ as you learn to thirst after Him, drink of Him, and there you will find the living waters of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. He's quoting there John chapter 7, obviously. No longer will you be merely existing, you will be living. And from you, waters will overflow into other lives. And so he's connecting repentance here to just a life worth living. And so he's saying, if you're a Christian, this is why repentance is ongoing all the time, because life is only worth living when the Holy Spirit's flowing through you. And so repentance should be a normal part of your rhythm.
So if you're a Christian, expect to repent daily, if not multiple times a day.
Yeah, I think it's just important for us to always be coming back to this, because we in our minds cognitively think this is the beginning of the Christian life, which it is. It is the beginning of the Christian life, but it's also the Christian life for you tomorrow and the next day as well. And so as you continue to seek the Lord, there should be things that you're seeking out to repent of as well. Not like going on a sin hunt, but when sin pops up, like, oh man, I'm convicted about that. And I'm drawn to contrition about that, like Bob was talking about, and therefore I'm repenting about that. So why? Well, so that I can grow in my depth of my relationship with Christ and with others and His church and move on from conversion. It does not stop there. And so I think it's just important for us as Christians to keep coming back to this.
Here's a great phrase from J.I. Packer. Repentance means turning from as much as you know of your sin to give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. Turning from as much as you know of your sin to give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And so the beauty of that definition is it implies there's always more of my sin that I can get to know. There's always more of myself that I can get to know, and there's always more about God that I can get to know. And that's why the repentance is ongoing, because I'm always coming to a deeper awareness of my sin, deeper awareness of who God is, and a deeper willingness and desire to give myself over to God in greater and greater ways. I will say too, gentlemen, as we talk about this, that for many people, repentance is actually penance. It's a self-righteousness. It's a desire to clean myself up so that I can be, so I can feel like God accepts me more. And though we wouldn't explain it that way, that's sort of the disposition with which we go about repentance, which is why for many people, repentance seems like a discouraging thing, like a heavy thing, like a weighty thing, because the thing that's driving me to it is I want to feel better about myself. Gospel repentance is different than that, because it starts from the point of view that God has forgiven all of my sin in Christ, and therefore self-examination doesn't have to be crushing. It doesn't have to destroy me. Being honest about my sin doesn't change my status before God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm free to acknowledge all the truth about myself, to see all the dark places in my character. All of that is already forgiven, and therefore I can go there. I can turn from it. I can embrace the sinister things about me that I need to see and turn from. There's no shame in that. There's no fear in that. And so the reality is that a deep and full apprehension of the gospel is crucial in order for repentance to have the right spirit to it, for it not to be sort of religious and defeating and shameful, but to be freeing and joyful and worshipful.
Yeah, that's always key for me, actually, because I just tend towards how can I fix this? How can I make things right? And there's so much I in that. There's so much me in that. And so even if you use the definitions we're talking about of repentance, which is how do I get off myself and look at God and all of that self-talk and self-focus, moving that towards Christ moves me away from penance and into repentance, right? Because then I start to realize, well, actually, I can't fix any of this. I just need to look at Christ, look what He's done, and realize that only Jesus can.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter and join us next week on the Wednesday Conversation.